This is a Collider.com audio interview.
That's okay.
So Sam was just here, and he just said that he's going to try to find your character over the course of the time. So can you figure it out and tell us about the character?
We figured it out now.
Okay.
She's changed quite a lot, actually. And because she's a very enigmatic, I had to work out a lot of who she was myself, rather than it being in the script. So I think the way that I describe her now is that she's like a guardian angel, even though she's not heaven sent, but she's got sort of she's very otherworldly, and she's been touched by the gods, so she has powers, healing powers, and she has this. She's sort of been touched by the gods, but she's also cursed in that she can't age, she's kind of trapped with these gifts that she's been given. They're quite similar to Perseus, actually, in that, you know, grappling with being a human and at the same time having these godly traits. Her role in the film is to guide Perseus through his journey and help him, mainly to realize that he should embrace his open up and embrace his godlikeness, and in order to defy the gods, which is what both of their missions are. So throughout the film she kind of comes in and advises him, and around Io, Perseus becomes quite vulnerable, and we see another side to him which we don't see with the rest of the characters, with the boys. As she's kind of like a mother figure, rather than a romantic kind of. There's not really that involved. They're much more like brother and sister, or like a mother or something. She's very protecting, and she brings a real feminine touch to the film.
Well, how has she changed? What is the thinking about the character?
I think when you write an enigmatic character into a film, you have to have real confidence that the audience are going to go with it. And I think there was a lot of changes because the studio thought, oh, maybe we need to explain who she is more. And then I was always like, no, I think we don't need to know that. You know, we don't need to know who the blue fairy is in Pinocchio. We don't need to know where she came from and, you know, where she grew up. We kind of go with it, and we just go with the fact that she's magic and she's there. Same with, like, the fairy godmother and things like that. So she changed in that respect, that there was a lot of kind of facts that were given to her, who she was, and then we managed to just take it all away. And but at the same time, we had to justify every single thing that she says, and I had to justify it as an actress to make it believable. So now she's, at one point she was they were romantically sort of linked, and then we decided no, because Andromeda it has to be that Andromeda is the romantic lead, even though there is a tension between them, which we'd never really kind of delve into, but there is always something like an inexplicable feeling that they have. It's like when you meet your true love and for the first time you just have this feeling. They have that all the time but never do anything about it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in love with each other. It's kind of like brother and sister or something like that. She changed a lot, but now I really think I really am proud of the character, and I think it's one of the most interesting characters I've played. Because she's very complex and there's a lot of subplot with her, the subtext, which is always nice to play, and she's fascinating, I think.
Is there action for her?
Yeah, she does. She does have, because she accompanies Perseus on his journey. So there's like three different films within this film. There's the gods, there's Perseus's journey, and then there's Perseus's own, you know, home life, I suppose, and Andromeda as well. And we're on the journey. So that that's where all the fights are, and we battle the Scorpions, and we defeat the Medusa and defeat the Kraken. My Io does get involved only when she needs to, because she's quite peace and love. So she's not like all guns blazing. And actually, the boys are like that. She's the one that says, actually, you need to think and you need to step back sometimes. But although there is, she still gets into scrapes and so has to defend herself. And her mission is to enable Perseus to defeat the Kraken and everything, and so in any way possible she will help him. So there's I save him from one of the Scorpions with the sort of like a flick of my flying bolus, which my weapon only used when necessary. And then there's lots of sort of running away from things and being flung against walls, and so I've had to do quite a lot, actually.
So you're the only girl among these manly men,
Yeah. Do you know, I've so got used to it now, because I've done so many films where in Prince of Persia I was the only girl. And then, you know, it's quite a sort of male-dominated industry. So you kind of get used to being around lots of men and sort of becoming one of the boys, I suppose. So much so that they forget that I'm a girl and they're quite sort of disgusting and rude and talk about things that boys talk about. And I'm like, ew. You know, please, hello, remember, I am a girl. But, because they're quite boisterous. When they're all together as well, they are something else. But, you know, I can play with them as well. So, no, it's been great. We've all got on really, really well. So, it's just been really good fun. Really, really good fun.
And Greek mythology growing up?
It's really funny you say. My mum is an astrologer as a hobby, and so when we were growing up, when instead of reading us bedtime stories, she'd read us Greek myths from this little book that we had, which was falling apart, and I loved them, absolutely loved them, because they're about these gods that are so flawed, and they have egos, and they mess up all the time, and they're competing with each other, and I love all of that these gods are so flawed, even more so than the humans sometimes. And then I was a massive fan of the film Clash of the Titans, because Mum had taped off the TV Jason and the Argonauts and Clash of the Titans, and we had them on video. And I used to, but not all of them, you know, when you tape something and you get the adverts in there, and you haven't got the end because something else has taped over it or something. So I had Clash of the Titans, but not in its entirety, and we used to watch it all the time, me and my sister, to the point where I can still recite bits from the film. So when they asked me to read for this part for the film, I was like over the moon. And I remember, you know, phoning my mum when I got the part and telling her, you know, when I phoned her and told her I was in Bond or in Prince of Persia, she was like, oh yeah, whatever, you know, she didn't really rock her world. But then when I got Clash, she was like, yeah, God, that's one that I know, and oh, that's going to be brilliant. So
you play a character that wasn't in the original one, so you can't learn all these lines from nothing.
Yeah, I know. However, my character, I was watching it the other day, the original, and there's, I can't remember it, Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
She's kind of like him.
And then, you imagine both kind of like
Yeah, and there's actually speeches that he has. You know, he tells the story about Medusa, about who she was, and it's, I have that speech. It's like, and then, you know, I guide.
I'm
Burgess Meredith. Who would have known? maybe, you know.
So, Prince of Persia, this, do you just have a natural affinity for crazy make-em-up historical fantasies with no actual basis in fact? Like, are you hoping your next historical drama has a bit more realism to it?
It's quite funny, yeah. I never thought that I'd end up being in these kind of movies, because I always imagined that I'd just do theatre, classically trained actress, and but I've kind of ended up in them, and they're fun to play, these kind of things, because they're imaginative and completely original. However, on the flip side, I have done quite a lot of stuff that is more real. I have a film coming out at the beginning of the year, which is very, 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 very real and modern. And so it's nice to kind of go between and go from one extreme, something like this, which is fantasy and magic and horses and fighting and Medusas, and, you know, and then do something really gritty but on the flip side as well, with this film, it's not. I really do believe that we've accomplished, because the team is so talented, whether it be Louis, the actors, the crew, the car, everything. Everyone's so talented that it's not just another Greek myth. It's a really meaty, gritty, well-acted movie, and everyone's made it. I mean, Sam is vigilant in making sure that every single moment is believable and justified, and not saying a line, you know, a corny line. I really do believe that it's different to anything else that I've seen like that. I think Gladiator was one of the ones that, to me, stood out as a really brilliant epic, because you care about the characters and you go along with them, and it's everything's justified. It's not there for if it is a big show, you it's there for a reason, you know. It's not and it's the same with this film, I think. So yeah, hopefully it'll be on the same level.
Is it easier coming into this film coming off the heels of a Prince of Persia, which is so similar?
Yeah, because they're quite overwhelming doing films like this, because the set and the scale and the expectation of doing a big budget movie. And I did one, so I just come straight off of it as well. So that didn't overwhelm me as much this time. I felt a bit more comfortable and at ease being in these surroundings. But they are... They're very, very different, so I suppose, you know, you have to... It's just a different job at the end of the day, so... But it helps being on... having a bit of experience. Sorry.
Sam said that he reads what people say about him, or these, you know, the Esquire magazine articles, and stuff like that. I was wondering if you read things about yourself, or, I mean, does that... Do you follow that sort of thing? Like, reviews or blogs?
Yeah,
gossip,
yeah, I'm a bit of a sucker for it, actually.
Yeah.
I think when people say they don't, they're lying. Because, you know, you shouldn't do it, because sometimes you read really horrible things. But then, I don't know, it's like a morbid fascination or something like that. But also, sometimes, I remember when I was in the theatre, I was doing a show, and I remember reading a review, and it was a bad review, and they said, Gemma Arterton needs to make it less shrill. And I remember thinking, that's right, I do need to do that. And then I did, and then it was good. And so sometimes you kind of grow from reading, when it's constructive. When they're saying horrible things about you as a person, they don't even know you.
Horrible things about
Oh, God, you'd be surprised. They just do. But no, I think in terms of I don't mind reading things about the work, because I believe, you know, anyone can have an opinion, and I make my opinion known, and I want to hear what, if people don't like it, then that's interesting, and if people do, then that's interesting. It's destructive when it's about yourself, and then that's when you shouldn't read it. But in terms of the film, I think it's good to know what people think.
Sam was saying, and I'm explaining that he is, I'll be seen with Pegasus, a great horseman, and he hates the horse, and the horse hates him.
No, I thought the horse loved him.
He was saying he wanted to punch a horse.
No!
His rage against the horse was a major topic of discussion.
Rage against the horse.
What thing have you found that you're supposed to be able to do effortlessly as Io that's been driving you crazy?
Oh, Io, right, perfect. Annoying? Walking around in a cloak which comes out to here like a massive wedding dress, elegantly and gracefully, and see, I can do that. I can work the cloak. I've done it. But when there are people around, it's different. And the other day we were doing a scene with, there were about 300 extras, and I was wearing this cloak, and I had to walk through the crowd like meander through them like really elegantly like this, and then just like come to it and then walk up. But every time I do it, I'm like that, and I ended up being so stressed out, and I kept saying, please be careful of, I know it's annoying, be careful of the cloak. At the end of the day, I just took the cloak and I went, I hate this cloak. And Louis said, you diva, I love it when you're like that. Oh, I love it. And I was like, no, you don't understand. The cloak's pulling away from my performance. And oh.
Were you wishing there were Greek goddesses who wore like tracksuits?
Yeah, I was like, why didn't they just wear short dresses? Why do they have to wear full length dresses? But no, I mean, that's really trivial, but it really is important to me. No, I, well, maybe. You know, you never know what they're going to do. But I remember at one point I did it, and all the boys were watching the monitor, and they were laughing so much at me. They're like, oh, she looks like she's got epilepsy, you know, she's walking along. Like, God, they're quite cruel.
Does that count as the constructive criticism?
No, because it's not my fault. It's just a blooming cloak, but it is beautiful. So when it works, it works. When it doesn't, it's a disaster.
I was also of curiosity, what you've read the script, you've been here from the production, you see the film piecemeal, you see without completion, what are you most looking forward to seeing fully realized as opposed to the bits and pieces in the real world?
The cinematography is stunning on this film, and I don't watch the monitor really or anything like that. Everybody else does, but I can't. And but I did see when we were in Wales, we were filming the end of the film, which is just before we go into Medusa's lair, and it was all grey slate, and it was just beautiful, the setting and the way it was lit. And my character is very ethereal, and she has kind of like white skin that glows, and I just want to see how they make the magic, how they make it look otherworldly. And I think it's going to be stunning. And then there's some stuff in Tenerife when we were up 8,000 feet up the volcano, and there's a shot of us looking out, not me, it's of the boys, looking out on the horizon, and there are clouds beneath them. And everyone will think that we put them in post-production, but we didn't. And it's the most beautiful shot. I just can't wait to see it. And also, you know, that there are other things, like I can't wait to see the Medusa scene, because in the original, I loved it so much, was petrified of it.
Literally?
Yeah, I was petrified. But God, because I loved the original so much, even though this is so much, it's so different, but there are obviously key moments which it would be really nice to see what they do with them, because there's a lot of CGI and a lot that we couldn't see. So, it will be soon. And also the score, I think Muse are doing the, is that right? Muse are doing the score? Okay, that was what Louis told me, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, and they're a great band, so.
Which version are you? I mean, these are both huge scale movies, they've been in all these locations, huge sets. Have you been impressed with painting at this point?
No, nothing can impress me anymore. No, I don't know, everything impresses me every day. I mean, it's really humbling when you walk onto a set and they've been built. I know. I mean, it's unreal, and I don't think I'll ever get used to being involved in something that huge. And you know, and
you know, the next movie would be like a little parking scene, and be like, oh, so what?
No, my next movie is like so much smaller than this. It's set in a little country house, and and I'll still be impressed by that, the teapot. Wow, it's so nice. That's just the way I am.
Do you find you have to, with a scene, burrow into the emotional realism at the core of it when you're doing a big movie like this?
Yeah.
You just have to like focus on it's just us and
yeah.
What we want.
Yeah, you just have to. I mean, the luxury of doing a film like this is that you can just forget about the set, because it's so huge that you can't see the edge of it. So then you can just forget about it and do what you would do in real life, which is be in that place and talk to the other person. And it's hard sometimes when you're on a set that's been specially built. A film I did at the beginning of the year was set in a room no bigger than, well, a corner of this tent, and you could see the lights there, and everything was there, and it was very close. And actually, it being so small, it's actually harder sometimes. Whereas when it's so huge, you can forget. And but I do that. I think that's what you have to do in any scene, any time, anywhere, any place. Is just do your. Our job is to just talk to each other and make it real. So, yeah. Depending on, doesn't matter which film you're on. Oh God, this is an ongoing mission of mine, is to make sure I do some again, but it's just not sort of happened like that. I did some Shakespeare at the Globe in 2007, late 2007. Was it 2007? Yeah, 2 years ago. And I might be doing some at the beginning of the year, but I can't say.
This is one of those things where your agent or whatever is saying, you know, you have to take advantage of this.
Yeah, and you do. I mean, when I was a student, I was always like, I will always do theatre, and, you know, I'll be true to my roots and all this. And then you get offered these films, small, big, whatever, and they're fantastic parts, and that doesn't happen very often to anybody, and I'm quite realistic about it. And yeah, you know, in 5 years' time, I might not be able to do that anymore. So, but theatre is always, always there, especially in the UK. It's always there. It's a really good scene. And so not presuming that, you know, in 5 years I can go back to theatre, because they might not want me. But, you know, it's important for me to do it, because I really, really love it, and it's the core of what I do, and it's why I do it. It's purely why I do. I love acting on stage. But, you know, I'm just going to ride the wave for a bit as well.
We're just very lucky enough to speak with Mr. Worthington. He's funny and affable and relaxed and self-deprecating.
What's he self-deprecating?
A little bit, yeah.
No.
And yet you have to turn all that off to be courteous and yeah. With the sword. What was your biggest on off? What parts of your natural character did you turn off?
Okay. Like the whole of it. My Io is so different to me. She talks like this, and she's very, very softly spoken, and she doesn't raise her voice, and she's very soulful, and she doesn't laugh very often, and I laugh all the time. Actually, giggling was the main thing, because even when I was being, there's a scene where, which is quite dramatic, I get, can I say? About? No. No, I can't. No, that's not. Well, there's a very dramatic scene.
Do you mind giving someone a gift?
Now you can take what you want from that.
You make a national sign for staff.
No. No. No, I was giving somebody a gift. So there's a scene that's very dramatic of gift giving. And I was meant to sort of be very serious in it, but it was every time we would shoot it, I would burst into laughter, and we're in the middle of the valley in Wales, and it would echo around the whole valley. And I remember my dad was on set that day, and he said, I was down at Unit Base, and I could hear you laughing. And it was really bad, because I'm supposed to be so serious. But yeah, so she's a lot more centered and not as scatty. And so even though she's witty, she's more sophisticated than I am. So there was a lot that I had to check.
Would you like to do a surreal comedy at some point? Or?
Oh, yeah. I think I am doing one next, actually. No, I am. I'm not sure if the director will want it to be Scribble, but I'll probably make it like that. It's called Tamara Drew, and Stephen Frears is directing it. Yeah, and I'm playing Tamara Drew. So, and it's a kind of very British comedy. So, well, I don't know what that means. If it is Scribble, it's probably sarcastic. So, anyway.
Now, you know, there's been talk of this potentially turning the franchise.
Yeah.
It's going more of the mythology with your character kind of being a new addition, and with a, sounds like a deep backstory. Could we see her again? Would you want to play her again?
Yeah. Well, the great thing about the Greek mythology is that there's the underworld, and there's heaven, and so there's heaven and hell. So if somebody dies, like with all the boys, if they die, that means they can come back, you know, or we can go to the underworld and find them or something. And people are morphing and changing all the time. There's talks that Io comes back as an evil character in the next one, and I love that. I was just like, brilliant. And she becomes corrupted or something. And you can completely do that because it's Greek mythology, and that sort of stuff happens all the time in Greek mythology. I'd love to, but more than anything, because I just love working with these people, and it makes all the difference when you're working with people that you love, because the work is the best it can be then, because there's no barriers or anything. And I just would love to work with everybody again. And I love telling stories like this, because they're the sort of stories that I loved when I was little. And, you know, Sam always says he makes films that he would go and see in the cinema. And I think that's really great, because I make a lot of films that are, you know, a film that I did at the beginning of the year, it's really hard going, you know, and I told my dad about it, and he's like, oh, God's sake, what, you get raped? Oh, and then you do this, and then you cry for most of the film? Yeah, well, I don't want to go and see it. And then you tell them about Clash of the Titans, and yeah, everyone wants to see it, and that's great, you know. So, the roundabout way was that, yeah, I would like to do another one, because I'd like to see it.
Well, Sam was also saying, though, that he makes films sort of that pass the test for his 9-year-old nephew.
Yeah.
But you presumably can't make films only that pass your father's test, right?
No, I know. Well, I don't know what my father's standards are, because, I said to him, you're just going to have to get over it, Dad. I'm not doing films that would just make you happy. because I'm, you know, want to do more than that. But, yeah, it's good to make films for you. So your nieces and nephews think you're like amazing, and you're an absolute god.
you're kind of a Bond girl.
Yeah, I forget that I'm a Bond girl. Everybody else doesn't, but I do. Yeah. I completely forget that I'm a Bond girl, and that is a big thing. I think it's a big thing. But I didn't feel particularly Bond girly in the Bond film. I kind of let Olga have that title.
So you grew up watching the original Clash of the Titans. If your young self could watch this new version, what about Io would probably get your young self up to sign it?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it would be... It's that the magic that she has, and there's a magnetism to her, which... I really hope that it comes across that we don't know what it is about her, but we just are drawn to her. And it's the same as when, you know, I always describe her as like the blue fairy, because there's a fascination, something fascinating about the blue fairy, and captivating. And it's that, I think it's that sort of mystique and magic that I hope would captivate like a young audience. And she's got some really cool outfits as well.
Was there any aspect of the wardrobe or the accessories where you thought, ooh, this is nice, I'm going to lift this?
There's some really great shoes that I have that have been specially made, and they're very on trend from today's fashion. And also, I find that when I'm playing a character, I always end up in real life wearing clothes that are similar. So I'm always wearing grey at the moment. And one-shouldered kind of Greek-looking things. I don't know why. And then when I was doing Prince of Persia, I was wearing like baggy trousers and like belly tops and stuff. Anyway, it's weird.
Are there going to be action figures and collectibles in Io?
I don't know. I know they're after Prince of Persia. I would imagine so. Maybe like a little collectible, but we've had like the. They scan you for like from every which direction, and I would imagine that they use it for that. What? They did it? Hang on a minute. What's going on? But yeah, that's quite weird, actually. I saw a sculpture of a doll of me the other day for Prince of Persia, and that was really surreal. Yeah. I mean, I looked more like elf-like, and they really accentuated this weird... the weird mouth that I have, and I thought I looked a bit kind of Gelfling-y. I think I look a bit Gelfling-y anyway, but a bit more than that. But it was weird, you know, seeing a doll.
It was strange having, like, next year, like, March and May, when 2 months, you know, the movie's going to come out, it's going to be pretty much everywhere, going to be doing press.
Yeah.
It's going to be a strange experience.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Sam about that, or can we go through that experience?
Well, Sam's sort of going through it now, because he's got Avatar coming out soon, and he had Terminator. And he sort of said to me, oh, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It's going to hit you like a wave, and it's going to hurt. And that's, you can imagine him saying, it's going to fucking hurt. And I'm like, yeah, all right, fine, whatever. But, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really hate the fame thing. all the stuff that's attached to it, you know, all that rubbish. So I'm trying to brace myself for it, and I'm putting lots of things in, trying to organise myself so that I don't give myself too much to these people that can really upset your life. But I don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of inevitable because people are going to see these films. And my friend emailed me the other day and said, I'm in New York and there's a huge poster of you in Prince of Persia. And I'm like, what the? That's insane. Yeah, apparently. He might have been lying. But he was, you know, it's like, you know, it's scary. It's kind of like the day is coming. But it's also exciting because I really can't wait to see these films. But... And all of that stuff is, I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for what it's like. So hopefully people will be kind rather than cruel.
You can also book yourself on a gig right in those 2 months, like make sure they're really good.
Yeah, I know. I've got two films, I'm doing two films at the same time when they're both coming out and I'm getting married. So it's all right. Busy year.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.